strawberry, the flavor of justice, gelato.
Hello, lovely listeners.
Hello.
Welcome to another episode of Not Just Tentacles, where I, Rachel, attempt to demystify anime.
And I, Ruth, stay permanently mystified.
Right, before we start reviewing today's programme, I would like to apologise profusely for the accidental April Fool's prank that we perpetrated.
Did we?
Yes. I unwittingly said, because I believe this to be the case at the time.
If you believed it to be true, then you are the April Fool.
I know, and we did it after midday.
The poisson d'avril.
So I am doubly the April twat.
You are fishy April Fool.
So yeah, I said that Danny DeVito was the original choice for Wolverine. And I was wrong. Apparently, some people did a petition to make him Wolverine, but it never actually happened. So I am a knob and I misinformed you all, and I'm extremely sorry. It will not happen again.
Hang up your journalism card, Wrecker.
Right, okay, we've got that out of the way now. So today we're going to be talking about Love After World Domination.
Right, let's get on with the world domination.
Hey. So, I came into this as somebody who... Get your mind out of the gutter.
Sorry.
As somebody who absolutely loved the Power Rangers, because I remember rushing downstairs on Saturday mornings just to catch a glimpse of them. I thought they were awesome, although I never quite understood why they all turned into dinosaurs. Well, Ruth, what was your perspective on them?
Bastards fired Mariska Hargitay.
Don't say that, we might get sued.
No, seriously, look up Mariska Hargitay Power Rangers.
Yeah, she was good.
She looks
absolutely gorgeous in a chainmail bikini thing. So apparently she was going to play Queen Dulcia, I think the character's called, but they let her go and cast somebody else instead. But either way.
You're like, huh, detective, inspector, chief, constable...
Whatever it is, Benson.
Captain Benson.
Isn't she Sergeant Benson
now? No, she's Captain. Mm. She's Captain, my Captain.
Mm-hmm. Anyhow, the reason why Power Rangers appealed to so many people at the time was I don't think there'd been anything quite like it. I mean, obviously, Super Sentai had been around since the 1970s, but this was years before Buffy or before the X-Men became really big with the movies. So I think it was just the whole concept of just ordinary kids being superheroes. Although when you look back at the actors, they all look about 30 at least.
They don't look 30. They look way older. They look about my age. They're mid-40s.
Yeah, mid-40s pretending to be your average...
Hello,
high
fellow
scholar.
Kids.
I know, very much so, especially Bulk and Skull. I mean...
I've got to worry about my algebra test tomorrow.
So, Love After World Domination is very much within this spirit. And this is why I love the intro so much, because I showed Ruth the intro to that and then the intro to Power Rangers. And it is clearly a loving pastiche, showing them transform and then showing the villains in their lair and just all the other Power Ranger-y type goodness that you get in these shows. As well as the main couple singing, because this is where it's different, because as the name implies, it's a rom-com.
Okay.
Because for the first time ever, you have the Red Ranger, because the Red Ranger is always the lead in these shows. I don't know why. Maybe it's a cultural thing about Red being lucky or something. And he is in love with Reaper Princess. Again, this whole kind. I imagine she's called Shinigami something or other in Japanese.
Is she the one with the hand claw epaulets?
Yeah, and the kind of cute little hat. And
boobs that are so huge that I thought they were a helmet.
Yeah, this is one thing that I don't like so much about this anime. I love nearly everything else about it, but it is very fan servicey. It looks like it was designed to appeal to horny teenage boys, and she's not even the worst
not
offender.
Not just the horny teenage boys.
In the rack department. So basically what happens, and this is interesting because it sets Fudo up as the decoy protagonist. So he and the other members of Gelato 5, because they're all named after ice cream, and their leader is called Big Gelato. He's this kind of little professor who looks a bit like Professor Calculus from Tintin. They have a face-off with...
I thought he just looked like Fat Einstein.
They face off with Gecko, so that's the name of the evil organisation, and he falls in love with Reaper Princess on the spot, and he arranges a secret meeting with her, and she thinks it's just going to be another face-off, but then he was like, will you go out with me? And then, from then on, it's all about their secret relationship and about how in between fights, they keep finding excuses to sneak off and have mini dates of each other. And of course, nobody can ever know. And because this is what I like, it's not because lots of rom-coms.
I mean, does she have a secret identity as well?
Well, this is what I'm getting on to, because after this first episode, the main character is Desame. So the way that these shows normally focus upon the everyday life of the teenagers, they do with the villains. So she is just basically an ordinary high school girl, as are all the other princesses. And I like that. They all go to the same school. I don't think they're aware of each other's identities, particularly one character. We'll talk about her in a while. And this is the thing about Desame and what makes her such an interesting protagonist, because she is very much a punch clock villain. The reason why she got into villainy in the first place was her dad was a long-standing hench of Gecko, but he never actually got anywhere. While she's really promising, he signed her up and she's now a princess and really moving her way up the ranks of the organisation.
Moving up the tail, shall we say.
And hanging out with the other princesses. So there's Steel Princess, who claims to be a totally unattractive nerd, but has even bigger boobs than Desame and is a right, bit of a knockout.
Can we just establish something?
Yeah.
Big boobs does not make one beautiful.
No. Well, looks down, it's sizable.
Hey, those of us with our bee stings, we have to be content in the fact that there are a lot more factors that make you hot.
Well, the whole point about this storyline with the Steel Princess was she had a crush on one of their co-workers and she thought that he was never going to look at her because she was like, ooh, I'm so mousy, I'm so plain, and at one point practically drowning while she's wearing her highly unflattering costume. And then the instant she comes out of it, she's got this amazing figure and wearing a mini dress. And although I wish they hadn't made that sort of boob wibble noise when she kind of... It's just like...
I know what? Noise.
Yeah, so she's like, ooh, I'm so plain, no one could ever fancy me. And then suddenly that...
Is that a boing?
There is Beast Princess. Yeah, like that. There's Beast Princess who...
That's the sound of Rachel's boobs.
Oh, who is the angry rival to Desame, but gradually grows to like her. And in fact, the way that Steel Princess kept kind of hovering around pronouns, she just kept referring to the person she fancied as they. I was thinking, does she fancy Beast Princess? But alas, no, she does not. She fancies a bloke. I think she's called Judgment Princess, who can make herself look like anybody, which causes a bit of confusion when she turns up to their rooming situation disguised as Fudo. But the thing is, the guy is such a himbo, he probably would do that. So, and... alas, something I do not like, Heat Princess, who we don't find out until much later, is a psycho lesbian who is in love with Desame. And, yeah, she blackmails Fudo and stuff. It's not pleasant. And it's just like, why did the only queer character in this show have to be a maniac?
Right. Can we just get something straight?
Or not, as the case may be. Yeah.
Just because we's gay doesn't mean we have to be good all the time.
I suppose. But if it goes too far the other way, I mean, don't get me wrong, she's reasonably attractive. She's a redhead and a gairu. Which,
what?
So a gairu it's a Japanese fashion subculture, which for some reason always pops up in queer shows because they're seen as being a bit unconventional, a bit trashy. So I don't know whether they're saying if you dress flamboyant way, that automatically makes you gay. I don't know.
Flamboyant, unconventionally dressing redhead. Has somebody got my dating profile?
And last but not least, there's a Blood Princess who is really...
Oh, God, Blood Princess. That just sounds like somebody's on the period and being really demanding.
But
like a pillow princess.
Yeah, well, she's creepy and has a bit of a sort of baby fetish. Basically, she's a school nurse when she's not being Blood Princess, and she likes making people dress up as babies. But
hang on, wait, is this an intertextual reference to Wonder Woman?
I can't help wondering that.
Is
yeah.
Is she supposed to be like a throwback to Etta Candy?
Maybe her and the Holiday Girls, possibly. Yeah, that. Well, there's no paddling involved as far as I'm aware. And I forgot to mention that the head of Gecko is this rather avuncular mustachioed man called Bossler, who, what does he look like?
Well, to be honest, he looks like the lead singer from, who was the ones that sang about, the Seagull Pat in Eurovision last year.
Oh!
Was it Croatia?
I don't know.
You know, Mama Kupila Traktora. Shh.
Or a smiley version of Bison from Street Fighter.
Or my uncle doing the YMCA.
But the thing I like best about Bosslar is he is really nice otherwise.
But that just sounds scouse. Because like, oh, that's Bosslar.
Because at one point, Desiree is terrified she's going to be turned into a gorilla, because apparently that's a mark of distinction within the Gecko, that if you're really good at your job, you get turned into some mutant animal, because this is what happens to Culver and Bear, who
so
is...
So if you... Can I just check?
Yeah.
So you get... If you're really good at your job, you get turned into a gorilla. So what happens then? Do you kidnap a princess and dodge some barrels? What do you do?
Or climb up the Empire State Building or something. And the thing is, she actually turns it down because she wants to have a nice, normal life with Fudo.
I don't want to be in a gorilla.
And doesn't think that he'll fancy a gorilla. And he's like, oh, you didn't have to do that. You could turn it down. And all the people that have been turned into snakes or rabbits or bears are like, you what? And aren't happy about it. And there's another time where...
What animal would you not object to being turned into?
A cat. I could nap all day.
Oh, yeah, you'd be like this. What kind of animal would I be? Also a cat, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, you'd be sort of like a beige one with blue eyes and, you'd be a Siamese. I'd be, like, ginger and white. Bit tabby-ish.
What was I going to say? Oh, yeah, Bossler. Another time Fudo ends up in hospital and Bossler sends him flowers with a note saying that he wants him to get better soon because he only wants him to die at his hands. So...
I love him already.
Yeah, so he's a nice, charming villain. So the focus is primarily on the bad guys, although the Gelato 5 themselves, they're reasonably
interesting.
Right, will
you stop spitting in my mouth?
You normally like that.
No, this is not not deliverance. Disobedience. Right, so for reference, we are referencing a lesbian sex scene involving Rachel Weisz in Disobedience, not Deliverance.
Which we've already mentioned on a prior podcast, so let's not mention it again.
Deliverance is squealack pit.
Oh, no. Anyhow, so in Gelato 5...
I'm sorry, but Gelato 5, it just sounds like they got the moves like Jagger.
I was thinking like some kind of Gelato number 5.
Lou Vega?
I have no idea. Years ago.
Suzanne Vega? Who knows? What are those?
Vega, because to continue the Street Fighter.
Vega from
Creed.
Street Fighter.
Yeah, so, anyhow, so they are very much along Power Rangery lines, because as previously mentioned, Fudo is the leader, and he's a lovely guy, but he's a bit basic. He's got muscles on his muscles. His idea of going on a date the first time is kind of doing workouts and eating energy bars or whatever they are. But luckily for him, Desiree is into that sort of stuff.
I'm sorry, that would be a red flag for me. I mean, don't get
me
wrong.
A red ranger flag.
Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. It's nice that people look after themselves and take an interest in being healthy, etc. But you just want...
Not on a date. Yeah, it's not very romantic.
Could you imagine somebody getting you to do burpees on a date?
Oh, God. Just burp and walk off.
I burp and I pee. There we go.
So there is Mizaki, who is the Yellow Ranger, who is older than the others. And again, she's another attractive redhead with a fairly sizable bosom.
I understand what the appeal to you of this show.
It's not that. She's like a really nice lass.
Rachel likes redheads.
As you probably gathered. Yeah, but she isn't just... because normally Power Rangers, rather irritatingly, had this idea that women could either be pretty or they could be clever. I mean, to be honest... Trini was both, but still, it's like, oh, there's two types of girls. But I like the fact that, yeah, she is a knockout, but she is also a really nice, fun-loving person. She's great, and she is very much a mother figure to all the other characters. And
mother is mothering.
And Haru is the Pink Ranger, and she's very girl next door, has a crush on Fudo, but obviously steps aside. But she is the only person to know about these two dating. Everybody else is more or less either just completely unaware or they think something else about it. There's Daigo, who's the Green Ranger, who is older and a bit serious, likes Mizaki. And he and Desumi met years ago when he used to do martial arts, and she just completely obliterated him, even though she was only little at the time.
I'm getting showered here, please.
Sorry. And last but not least, because you always have one ranger who is a bit morally suspect.
Oh, a morally interesting one? Yes.
No, he's not morally interesting. He's a dick. So basically, he is... If you can imagine, like, Pepe Le Pew only as a...
Skunk Ranger.
He is just... Yeah, he doesn't take no for an answer. He will not leave poor Beast Princess alone or just any girl he finds attractive. And he's called Hiato, and he clearly thinks that him being the Blue Ranger means that he is entitled to any woman that he likes. And he spends an awful lot of his time getting slapped or just chucked into craters in the ground because... So he's
basically Mr. Self-entitled, full of himself.
Wanker Ranger, yeah.
You're Wanker Ranger.
So it's a really good, enjoyable show. I mean, some... aspects are a bit questionable, so I think I've covered all of them now.
Is it like the boobs?
But I just like it is just such
feel good.
Yeah, it's feel good. It's funny. You don't have stupid obstacles being thrown in the path of the main couple. Everything arises from the situation or from the characters.
You mean plot. You don't have plot.
No, you know what I mean? Like, something I find really frustrating about anime, when you have the main storyline being a couple getting together, they just throw up all these ridiculous...
They just throw up...
No, not literally. No. They throw up all these stupid things stopping them from getting together. Sort of like, oh, it's a love rival. Ooh, they've got split up. Ooh,
they're cousins.
Well, these two are together from pretty much the very beginning, and it is just them trying to keep their relationship secret and just all the ridiculous situations that come about because of that. Because there's one time where he thinks, oh, I've got a special mission to infiltrate Gecko headquarters. So he uses it as an excuse to see her, and they end up accidentally blowing the whole place up. Yeah. And it's not even because of anything that he's deliberately doing. It's because they're hiding from Culverin Bear, and he sets it off with his cannon. And I love Culverin, by the way, because he is just such an obvious nod to... Was he called Goldar in Power Rangers? Who is this big, intimidating hench who's totally stupid?
The one who looked like Skeletor, but at Pride.
No, he looks more like a bear, I think. Like a bear in armour, which is why Culverin
looks like
that.
Didn't look like a bear to me that I saw.
I mean, which one are you thinking of? Are you thinking of Zed?
I'm thinking, no, because Zed is the one who looks like Judge Death from Judge Dredd, but on top of a big buff... Flash Gordon type red muscly suit.
Yeah, I showed Ruth an awful lot of pictures of Power Rangers, including the strange glow up of Rita Repulsa, how she went from being a little Japanese lady in a headdress to being some babe in a bikini.
No, I mean, I liked the original Rita Repulsa. She had Michelle Yeoh vibes.
I thought for the longest time when I was a kid that she was Bjork. I don't know why. I don't know. Look, I was young and stupid and just I just thought she was Bjork, so I was very surprised to find out.
And whereas the new outfit has like a whole She Queen of the Kings vibe.
Yeah, I thought that.
Yeah.
So, there are an awful lot of Power Rangers themed anime coming out at the moment. I'm not sure why. I don't know whether it's because all the millennials are making growing manga up. And creating anime. Yeah, and they're all thinking, oh, let's look back at this wonderful piece of our childhoods. And I can't help noticing that they're all looking at the dark side of being a Power Ranger, because this is probably the most positive...
Ow, you're spat in my eye again.
This is probably the most positive depiction of them, because it does focus more on the villains, but they're still obviously nice people who have just been signed up for a cult, while Mr. Villain, as we're going to discuss in however so many months' time, that kind of looks more into Power Rangers as child soldiers. And, well, to go into Go, Go, Loser Ranger, which I've just started watching, this is what if the Power Rangers were evil? So it is definitely looking at all the various ways and just subverting this franchise that we've all loved since we were kids.
So hang on, what's this one called that we've been looking at?
So this is Love After World Love Domination.
Love After World Domination, because I keep going, go, go, Loser Ranger.
No, that's a different one.
Okay.
So because Bossler's aim, as he keeps saying, is world domination. He always says this with a kind of like a big grin on his face, like he doesn't really mean it, but that is his ultimate goal.
He has a thin Wario vibe.
Yeah, I can definitely see he's got the Wario thing going on. And I love how there's merch, like there's little Bossler dolls. But this is what I like, the whole kind of Desame wanting to fight her fate, how she doesn't want to be the Reaper Princess, how it is basically her dad trying to live his dreams through her and her just wanting to have an ordinary life with Fudo. And at one point, she even considers joining the Gelato Five, because they don't know that she's Reaper Princess. They just they know that she and Fudo were dating, but they don't know that she's Reaper Princess. So so yeah, she still has
so
that secret identity.
She's some boring girlfriend.
Well, Daigo knows that she's not boring because he knows that she's a martial arts genius.
How do you just randomly know that about you, mates of the heart?
I told you before, like maybe 10 minutes ago, that she absolutely annihilated him when she was a little girl at the dojo or whatever they were both at.
Yeah, but how would they even recognise each other?
Well, apparently they did. And there's a good subplot about her sister.
Would you recognise somebody you grew up with at school?
Maybe some people do. I mean, I probably don't, but then I've got a lousy memory for faces anyway. And like I was saying, there's also a subplot about her sister, because her sister very much wants to join Gecko. She's a couple of years younger and she sees her sister as being her hero. And they,
yeah, but becoming a superhero, it's not like school. It's not like you get the scholarship just because you've got an older sibling in it.
Well, in this it is kinda, and so she's, because they, her family meet Fudo, but they just think he's a random hench with it, because they come up with a fake name for him that's only like one letter different, like Mudo or something. I can't actually remember what it
Mudo
is.
Mudo Dufo.
Yeah, and she's angry because she notices, because this is what I like about Desame. She is really, really girly, and that does not stop her being a super villainess that kicks ass at all. She's just your nice, regular girl that likes her nails, concentrates on her appearance, but also will put you in a coma if she has to.
Wow. Well, if you could like have a superpower that you could use in a fight, what would it be? We know we have the whole flying thing and the whole being invisible, but something could use in a fight, what would you go for? I'd make my nails grow at will.
All right, Wolverine.
But then I'd just like go, and I'd get like hangnail.
Shred your tights, accidentally impale people.
Yeah, just accidentally snag my spandex.
Forget they've at your nail and scratch your nose or stick it in your ear.
That would be your thing.
I don't know.
Maybe I could grow zits at will and just like
so
erupt.
Gross.
And like acid comes out of my zits.
I don't know, telekinesis or something, but then knowing what my the hand-eye coordination is like. I'll just be throwing stuff everywhere.
You'd also be looking at, hang on, telekinesis. So it's not the whole mind reading, that's psychokinesis.
Yes, it's being able to move things. But knowing my luck, I'll probably end up sort of chucking a big piano on myself.
Just be eating everything.
Yep. And
there wouldn't be any...
roof excuse to use the word yeet. I noticed that cunningly done.
Oh, cunning you. No, it's just because there is a word that adequately describes the way that Rachel accidentally doesn't know her own strength.
Yeah.
And the sound it makes is yeet.
Yeah. All inspired by me talking about Serpentius flying across the landscape. And speaking of Helliver-related things, or rather Helliverse, whatever you call it, related
helipads.
Things. So Level Up is taking place next week.
What is Level Up?
So this is the convention where people are going to be finding out about the later episodes of Helliver Boss Season 2.
Mm-hmm.
Because they did do a GIF. Was it last week? Because we're all going, oh, we need a new GIF because it's ages since the one of Stolas. And
no, it's the ungrateful sods. I mean, the glass is working her whole guts out. As are the rest of the cast and the editors, the animators, etc.
You know what people
are like.
And you're
just like, give us a GIF.
Yeah, so we didn't get what we expected. We got a GIF instead of the Agents 1 and 2, with Agent 2, for some reason, wearing a fursuit looking like Luna. So I don't...
Is that the girly one or the guy one?
That's the guy.
Okay.
So I don't know whether that means that they're going to try and entrap Blitz by making him think it's Luna, or maybe they realise they were furries after what happened in True Seekers. I don't know, but it's interesting. And you have people going, how does this fit in with Full Moon? But it's probably for a later episode, because they will be showing clips from various episodes in at Level Up. So this is all very exciting. And
why is it exciting?
Well, because...
Why can't we just wait?
We'll find out when the dates are, because they've said they're going to announce when the new ones are. So they will be coming out on set days rather than it being, oh, it could be next Sunday. Oh, no, it's not next Sunday. It'll be like next month or whatever, because it is...
Yeah, but then somebody will be kicking off going, oh, it's my birthday then.
it's Thanksgiving. Yeah. And what was I going to say? No, I've completely lost whatever it was I was going to say. Oh, well, it can't be that important. But either way, so Love After World Domination, to return back to
that. Scores on the doors.
So scores on the doors. So there might be some tentacly elements, but I...
Well, hey, not just tentacles.
Not literally. That's what I call it when there's something that's a bit dubious and gives me the ick. But
oh, right. I'm sorry.
I'm sure I've already said this in previous episodes, but... It's funny, it's charming. I love the main characters and their romance. The supporting characters are great too. And it is spot on as a Power Rangers love letter stroke parody. So I would give it a 4 out of 5. And I
That's 8 out of 10.
Yeah, and I even like, because I know you thought this sounded irritating, but I even like the...
Don't wag your finger at me.
I even like the over-the-top narrator going, allow me to explain, every couple of minutes.
Like that.
But that's very in keeping with Power Rangers.
Allow me to explain. No, it's annoying.
Oh, and in keeping with going back to Helliver-related stuff, Alpha 5, of course, was the little robot in Power Rangers who was one of the earliest known roles for Richard Horvitz, and still the voice that he gets asked to do most to this day. So,
it all comes full circle.
That is right. And we've been blubbering on now for nearly 30 minutes. So
what do you want? A prize?
I think it's time for a wrap. And speaking of which, I made the rather distressing realization when I opened my phone earlier. I made a note to myself because I accidentally bought lunch when I already had some. And so I've left this.
What, you forgot when you were going to have lunch?
Yeah, because remember, I had something in my lunchbox and then I went and bought something else. So oh. I've left the wrap in the fridge at work, and unfortunately I put remember you have a dick wrap in the fridge. Face palm. Yeah, well, at least it wasn't at wank, that'd be even worse. But anyway, and on that note,
what flavor is your dick wrap? Dick rap with hoisin sauce.
Ooh, yep. So next time we are going to be, well, obviously we'll be telling you any news we've had from Level Up, but more importantly, we are also going to be reviewing Odd Taxi.
Ooh. Sorry, I need to sound excited. Oh!
Which is a mystery in a world of funny animals.
This is the one with the walrus.
Yes, that's correct. The walrus taxi driver.
Yeah, the walrus taxi driver, and he's dealing with a seagull that shits on his car.
That's one thing, yeah.
That's one plot line.
Yeah, it was not even a plot line. It just happens in the opening credits. Anyhow.
Okay, the fact it happens in the opening credits, is that supposed to be significant?
Who shat on my windowsill? No, the mystery is not about that.
Could you imagine what kind of mystery that would get?
Well, as long as it's solved by Benson in her bikini, although I'm not sure which animal she would be.
Oh, she's just a fox.
Anyway, we've now gone over 30 minutes, so must love you and leave you. Bye!
Thanks for listening. If you've enjoyed this podcast, don't forget to subscribe. And you can also follow us on social media. We are at TentaclesNot on Twitter. And on Facebook, our page is called Not Just Tentacles. Speak to you soon. Bye.
Disclaimer. I've just realised that Agent 2 is in fact the woman. It's Agent 1 who's wearing the fursuit as Luna. So he seems to have become a furry. Ah, well, never mind.